タラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタラッタッタッタッタララタタララタラタラタラタタ。
Hello and welcome. I'm Caroline.
And I'm Helen.
And we love to sew. This is a podcast for makers where we talk about sewing a handmade wardrobe and bring you interviews with inspiring creatives and small business owners in our community.
Does sewing swimwear intimidate you? How about wearing swimwear? We talk about all things swimsuits today, including tips for choosing fabric and techniques for a professional finish. We also dive deep into body image and our personal experiences with our beach bodies.
We dive deep.
Oh, we're diving deep.
Get it?
That is so cool.
Hi, Helen.
Hi, Caroline.
How are you?
I'm good. I feel like we haven't done a Just Us episode in forever.
I know. It does feel like forever. We are back from our holiday and we jumped right back into work and now we're here.
The short, the long and the short of it. The short and the not long of it.
There you go.
Anyway, we're doing a whole episode about our little road trip that we took together. So we're not going to talk about it too much because episode 50 is going to be our very special road trip.
Yes, can't wait. So what's going on with you lately?
With me, I'm back to work. I'm working on a few different projects right now, but what I have going on is some York hacks are going to be up on the blog in July, and I'm really excited to show you guys different things you can do with that pattern and ways that you can take it and make it more summery. You know, it's the heat of summer. It's so hot here. And I've been wearing my Yorks a lot because they're just so breezy and easy to throw on over everything. So
I love all the hacks that you've been working on. And I also wanted to mention that I'm loving following the You Can Hack It tag on Instagram.
Yeah.
There are like probably 500, there were 400 posts when I checked last week. So there's probably around 500 now. I don't know. It's just blowing up. It's so inspiring.
It is. It's such a fun hashtag to browse. And I really like just going there and seeing all the different things that you can do with different patterns and getting inspired. And it's really, really awesome that you all are taking your sewing to the next level and just making it work with different patterns.
You can hack it.
All right, what's going on with you?
Ooh, well, I've been keeping busy at the office. Yesterday, we received two huge shipments of fabric, and I could not be more pumped to release these new fabrics. Lots of linens. I'm going to be releasing a 100% linen woven fabric that's kind of like a mid-weight, perfect for pants and shorts and dresses. I'm really excited about that because I haven't yet had in the shop a linen that is all linen, 100% linen, and like a nice kind of medium weight. So
yeah, the medium weight is so nice. I made one of my York pinafore samples, orange one, out of like a medium to heavyweight linen. And it just feels so good when I wear it and I have some left over. I really want to make a pair of shorts. And even though linen gets a little wrinkly and pants especially get pretty wrinkly, yeah, it still looks so nice. It just looks really summery and laid back, you know?
And the colors, I have to say, we were on holiday when I picked out these colors and you like heavily influenced me. You were like, you need to get this one, this one, this one, because I am more of a muted tone person. You're more of a brights. I think we all know that by now. But I was totally willing and on board with going for some brighter colors. And I did. And when we were unpacking them yesterday at the office, Laura was like freaking out. She loved all the colors. So I am so excited to release them into the world and see what people make with these fabrics.
Yay. And you also have some e-cats or i-cats.
Yeah, I always call them iCats. I think the proper term is eCats, but you know what? You can call it what you want to call it.
I don't know. Isn't there a correct pronunciation?
I think the correct pronunciation is eCat.
Okay.
And yes, I do have some eCats in the shop from India, and they are so beautiful. Hand loomed. I got them shipped directly from Mumbai, and they are just beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
So yeah, they're really lovely. I have a hard time choosing ones. I haven't quite picked yet, but there's a red one I've got my eye on. It's really cute.
We'll link those in the show notes.
Mm-hmm.
You also wanted to mention a podcast that you're into.
Oh, yeah. I just discovered this. Full disclosure, only listened to one episode, but I think it's awesome. It's called The Dressed Podcast, and it is a look at fashion through history. So they talk about all things fashion. And in particular, I was listening to their body episode where they were talking about like the history of women's physique and what was fashionable and during which era and the undergarments and techniques that women would use to achieve that look and how that has changed. And especially now, how it's changed because we don't wear all of that stuff underneath. You know, we don't wear the girdles and we don't wear the corsets and we don't wear the bustles and all of these things that women used to use to achieve the ideal shape that they wanted. Now we don't have. So the culture has definitely shifted and it's harder now because we don't have those things. And yet we are still expected to look a certain way and not jiggle. And that puts even more pressure on our bodies. So that episode was really great. It was called The Body, Fashion, and Physique. And the podcast, again, is called Dressed.
Cool. I'm going to definitely check that one out.
Are you ready for some listener questions?
Yes, I am. I love getting listener questions. We have a voicemail that we're going to play.
Hi, Helen and Caroline. This is Iran, and I live in Brooklyn, New York. And I just finished listening to your Mother's Day episode, which I loved. Your podcast has kind of been a gateway drug to podcasts in general for me. So thanks for that. It's a great thing to do while I'm learning to sew. I sort of have a follow-up question to the phone-in question you answered in this episode, which is, what if you do want to sew things for your friends? Because I have a lot of friends that I would love to sew something for, but they're different sizes than me. And I'm sort of trying to figure out the best way to go about doing that. Do you have any great patterns you recommend that are sort of easy to switch between sizes or any suggestions? Thanks.
This is a great question, Iran. And I think it's awesome that you want to sew for your friends. I'm sure that they're going to appreciate it. Or at least I hope that they're going to appreciate
it. They better appreciate it.
So I think step one here is that you do want to meet up with your friends in person so you can take their measurements. And one tip that I would say with taking someone else's measurements is just to be respectful of their body and, you know, make sure that they're comfortable in that scenario. And also just warn them that a lot of ready-to-wear clothes use vanity sizing. So the size that you might come up with for the sewing pattern that you're going to make for them might not be the size that they usually are in the ready-to-wear stores. And for some people, a difference in size can be a little bit emotionally taxing. So I think preparing people just for that difference is a nice thing to do ahead of time.
Yeah, that's a really great point, Helen. I think that you can dive into your stash of patterns and you can show your friend what you have and see what they're gravitating towards. Talk about what they like in terms of the fabrics that they want to wear. You want to try and pick a fabric that they're going to want to wear so they get a lot of use out of the garment. And yeah, just have fun with it. I think this is a great idea.
Yeah. And I would recommend making a muslin so you can try it on them and then you can make some fitting adjustments and things. It might be a little bit more of an involved process sewing something for somebody else. But if you take the time to get the fit right before you dive in and make them the final garment, then you know they're going to be ending up with something that they're going to wear.
And one thing we wanted to mention is that sewing knit garments is a lot easier when you're sewing it for other people. I think it's easier to fit on other people. So that might be a good place to start if you're just getting into sewing for your friends with knit garments. You don't necessarily need to make a muslin depending on what it is.
Good luck sewing for your friends.
Yeah. All right. We got a question from Carly that we absolutely loved and we're going to read it here. Hi, ladies. Maybe you discussed this in another podcast already, but how does one go about creating a muslin? I've heard it's really important to make one in order to get the best fit and to practice techniques. One can use sheets or really cheap extra material. But I guess where I'm stumped is, should it be very detailed or more of a loose first draft? Do I do every little detail just as I would the finished item, or do I just cut and sew the main pieces to make sure I have a good general fit? How time intensive should it be? I can be impatient often because I really want to work on and have the final garment in my wardrobe. Is it ever just okay to go for it without making a muslin? Any tips or advice on making muslins would be amazing. Carly.
Thank you, Carly. This is a good question. We do talk about muslins a lot. We just talked about them in response to Iran's question. So you're on the right track here. You can make a muslin with old sheets. You can make a muslin with scrap fabric. You can use, you know, unbleached cotton muslin fabric, or you can use something that's a little bit more similar to the garment that you're going to make. If you're making a drapey dress, you might want to use a cheaper drapey fabric. And in regards to whether or not it should be detailed, that's really up to you. I generally make muslins that are not detailed. So I will just baste fit the pieces together, the main pieces, put it on and check the fit. And I'm not doing the finishing details like bindings, facings, even the zipper. I will sew really quickly and not worry too much about what it looks like if I need to have a zipper for like a fitted dress or something. But you can also use your muslin as an opportunity to practice. So you can make a detailed muslin. You can go all the way and completely finish it. And in some cases, if you're using, like a real fabric, what you're making is more of a wearable muslin. And in the end, if it does fit and you kind of like the fabric, then you actually end up with two garments.
I think for beginners, going into more detail with your muslin is a good way to practice techniques so that you are more confident with your finished garment. And then a lot of the time that means that you're going to sew your final garment faster because you already know those techniques. So you're not going to be sort of waffling and wondering if you're doing the right thing. It's really a question of personal preference, and you can decide how much detail you want to go into on a case-by-case basis, depending on the garment. If you have a lot of experience sewing those techniques and those types of garments, then maybe you don't have to go into a lot of detail. If you're totally new at it, then maybe you do want to go into a lot of detail. It's really up to you.
And she also asks if there's ever an opportunity where it's okay to not make a muslin.
Absolutely. I often don't make a muslin. If it's something that is a looser fit, perhaps, or a knit garment, I very rarely will make a muslin for a knit garment. I think it's totally okay to not make a muslin. I mean, obviously, we recommend it for a lot of garments, but you do you, girl.
Yeah, and I think that also depends on your relationship with your fabric stash, and the resources that you have available. You know, for us, we both run businesses in the sewing world, so we have a lot of fabric lying around, and, you know, we can just sort of make things and without making a muslin, and if it doesn't work out, it's not a big deal. If you have more limited resources, or if you really, really feel strongly about the fabric that you're about to cut into, I would definitely recommend making a muslin because you don't want to create unnecessary waste.
Awesome. I hope we answered your question, Carly. We also had some feedback and follow-ups that we wanted to make on previous episodes. So the first one is from Megan at Half Moon Atelier. She sent us a link to a blog post that she has, which rounds up a whole bunch of ethical fabric sources. It's a really great list. It lists where the fabrics are shipping from. It's all linked. So we're going to include that list in the show notes for you guys if you want to go check out this really great roundup from Megan.
Thank you, Megan. The next little correction we wanted to make is that we talked about this awesome little enamel pin that you can get that says it has pockets on it. And we had stated in the episode that it's made by Like So Amazing, which is actually a retailer of this pin. And the original pin was designed and made by the Pink Coat Club. So we wanted to just make that distinction. You can get the pins at Like So Amazing. You can get them from the Pink Coat Club, and you can get them from some other retailers online as well.
Yeah, and we'll include a link for that in the show notes as well. And Mary left us a couple of comments about backstitching. So we chatted about when to backstitch, and she has some great tips to share.
So the first one is, if your sewing machine has a knot option, this works well on fine fabrics. So it's just five little stitches in the same spot, and then your backstitching is barely visible.
She also mentioned that tailors often decrease the stitch length as they approach the end of the seam, thereby eliminating a reverse stitch and creating a smoother finish. This is a really great tip, and I use that technique with darts as well. So instead of tying off my dart, as I approach the end of the dart or the point of the dart, I'll decrease my stitch length pretty significantly so that it's just tiny little stitches, and then it creates like a smooth finish. I don't have to tie off any ends. I don't have to backstitch. It's perfect.
Brilliant. I've never done that. I always do a couple of knots at the end of my darts because you don't want to do a backstitch there or you'll get a little bulky point right around the nipple. And that's not really the look we're going for.
Totally.
Are you ready to dive in?
Oh, I'm ready. Let's go for a deep dive.
This is one of those episodes that just kind of popped up and we were like, why aren't we doing an episode on swimwear? It's summertime. We wanted to make swimsuits. You have the swimsuit fabric in the shop. It's like all coming together. So here we are. Swimsuit episode.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk about this. We've sort of split this episode into two parts because we wanted to give tips for making a swimsuit, choosing the right fabric, different techniques that you can use to get like a professional finish. But we also want to talk about body image and feeling confident actually wearing the swimsuit once you finish it. We think that's really important too.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a great episode. And to coincide with this, we actually got together and we made swimsuits together, which was really fun. So we thought it would be great to just refresh our techniques and think about all the things that go into making a swimsuit and, you know, trying on a swimsuit. And then we did a little swimsuit photo shoot.
Yes.
Which we're so excited to share. So you'll notice in the episode picture, there'll be a picture of us in our swimsuits. And if you go to the show notes, we'll have a few more pictures to share there.
Okay, so let's talk about making a swimsuit.
First off, I think you have to choose a pattern, which means deciding what kind of swimsuit you want to make.
Yeah. So you want to think about what sorts of activities you like to do at the beach. What kind of a beach goer are you?
Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not a beach goer at all. Maybe you're a pool goer.
True.
If you don't live in a beach town or you're not going on a beach holiday, you might just be wearing your swimsuit at the pool, poolside, or just, you know, in your backyard with your kids and your sprinkler.
Yeah, totally. So think about, are you going to be doing like sportier activities? Are you just going to be lounging? Are you going to be spending a lot of time in the sun, in the shade? Are you going to be actually swimming or not actually swimming? Mm-hmm. What sort of water you're going to be swimming in? How often you're going to be using the swimsuit? All of these things you have to sort of consider when you're picking out your pattern and then your materials as well.
Yeah. So for example, for me, I really like to be active at the beach. I like to play, you know, frisbee or like throw a ball around, and I like to go swimming. I love being in the water, even like snorkeling and stuff like that. So I definitely need a swimsuit where I can feel comfortable running and my boobs aren't going to fall out. That's like step number one. But for a lot of people, this beach is a place where they go to relax. So they like to lie around. Maybe you do a little sun tanning. Myself, I'm not a sun tanner. I'm a burner. So that's never something that I'm going for with a swimsuit. But you might want something that you can lie on your front and easily unhook the back so you can do your sun tanning. You don't want something that's going to be really awkward to try and put back on when you need to sit up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you also might want to think about whether you're going to be taking a lot of bathroom breaks. If you're someone with a smaller bladder, this is seriously something to consider, because if you're going to the washroom a lot, like taking off a whole one piece might be really annoying. But if you have a bikini, it's a lot easier.
So then the other big debate is the one piece versus the two piece. And with one pieces, you know, you can still have a sporty or a more feminine look. And then with the two pieces, you can have like a very revealing two piece where you have like the little tie sides and the string bikini top, or you can have something that's almost a one piece and you're just showing like a little inch or two of skin in the middle. Mm-hmm. So there's tons of variety to choose from and lots of different styles. There's tankinis, bikinis.
There are a ton of great patterns out there right now. So we wanted to mention some of them to give you guys some suggestions to go on.
Yeah. So which one did you make for our swimsuit sewing day?
I made the Closet Case Patterns Sophie swimsuit.
It looks so good on you.
Yes, I went with a two-piece. So it's got the bra cups and a nice halter neck and a high-waisted bottom with some really nice paneling. So I really, really love how it turned out.
Yeah, the Sophie provides options for a one-piece or a two-piece, and then it has a really supportive top. So it can seem a little intimidating when you're working with things like foam and different pieces, and you're essentially almost making a bra mm-hmm. because it does have underwires and things like that. But I want to encourage you to not think about it as being too advanced for you, because like with all sewing projects, it's just one step after another. And of course, we're talking about Closet Case Patterns. So, you know, the instructions are good and there's lots of supportive material. She even has a class if you want to take a class on sewing the Sophie. So I think it's a great pattern. And I think it would be a really good choice for anyone out there who's more curvy.
Yes. What did you make?
I made the Sophie swimsuit bottoms as well. So I also really like the paneling and the shaping that the Sophie bottoms give you. And then I did a little self-drafted top. So sorry, guys. I made myself a self-drafted top because I wanted like a sporty kind of tank top style top. I'd been eyeing this one on Pinterest for ages. That's just like a stripy, basically a tank top that you're wearing as a swimsuit top. And so I made it out of some stripy lycra that you had in your shop, and it turned out really well. I feel like it makes me look like a surfer, and I'm not a surfer, but I'm into it.
It's really cute. I love, love, love what you drafted. So I'm hoping maybe you'll release it as a pattern someday.
2019, maybe? I'll keep it in mind. It's definitely cute, and I think there's not a lot of sportier options out there. So it was a fun one.
Mm-hmm. So some other patterns that we really love are the Seamwork Reno and Dakota.
Yeah, I've made that one or both of those patterns. They have the Reno, which is the bikini top, and then Dakota, which are kind of high-waisted bottoms. So you can pair them together to make a full swimsuit. And I've made that a couple of times, so we'll link my makes in the show notes for those ones. I have a little sew-along for the Reno as well on my blog. So if you're interested in that pattern, there's a good resource for you.
We also have seen so many Vernazza two pieces from Friday Pattern Company popping up in the sewing world these days. I think it's like the sewing swimsuit pattern of the moment.
I think so too. I've been seeing it everywhere. It looks good on lots of different bodies. Our friend made one when we were doing our swimsuit day together and it looked really great on her. I was impressed with the fit and just the style of it. I'd never seen anything quite like that. It looks really comfortable because it doesn't have a halter neck. It actually has straps that go over your shoulders. Mm-hmm. Another consideration for you with your swimsuit. Yeah, it's super cute. Check out the hashtag Vernazza two piece.
Yes. And some other ones that we love are the Cashmere Ipswich.
Yeah, that's a new one from Jenny at Cashmerette. It's super cute. I really love the fact that you can play with different prints and colors with that swimsuit.
And it has a lot of structure and support inside of the swimsuit, but it doesn't look like a bra on the outside. I really, really love that pattern.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, we wanted to point out the paper cut patterns Soma swimsuit. This one's been around for a while. I've seen lots of people make it, and it's a really cute one piece option.
And those are just a few of our favorites. It's really hard to pick favorites. So Helen has a blog post. It's an indie darling post with a swimsuit roundup. So you can go check that out. And I also recently wrote a post for the Blackbird blog with some inspiration photos, as well as a whole bunch of pattern suggestions.
Yeah. And for that indie darling post with the swimsuits, it's a year old, so I'm probably missing a few. So please feel free to comment on that post with anything I'm missing, especially if you're a pattern designer and you want your pattern to be included in there. Just leave me a comment and I'll add it.
All right. So let's talk fabric. I'm ready.
Okay. Well, fabric is pretty key for swimsuits. Obviously, this is a specialty item. You're going to need the right fabric.
So in my shop, I wanted to mention that we have a really great selection of swim fabrics. So you can go check those out. We've got some solids and some prints, and they are perfect. They are nylon, tricot, knits, and they're sourced specifically for swimwear. We have linings, we have some closures, we have elastics. So everything you need to make a swimsuit is available in my shop. And there are a few other shops online that carry swim fabrics that we can maybe link in the show notes when we find them.
Yeah, for sure. So what makes a swimwear fabric?
Most swimwear fabrics are nylon and spandex blends. You might find them named Lycra or Elastane instead of spandex, but you need the nylon and that stretch factor. And they're most, for the most part, four-way stretch. So you want them to stretch in basically all directions really well. You also want them to have really good recovery. That's key. But you might also find some swimwear fabrics that are just a two-way stretch. So for a two-way stretch, which means it'll only stretch in one direction, I would recommend more for two pieces. If you're making a one piece, you definitely want that four-way stretch.
Yeah, I made a one piece once that only had two-way stretch or had very little vertical stretch, and it didn't really work out. Your body feels like it's being like pulled like tight vertically. You want something that you can move and bend in and sit down and lift rocks and, you know, do all the fun stuff you do at the beach.
I would say, like, generally speaking, most swimwear fabrics are a four-way stretch, but just check it when you're shopping. It's always good if you're in person to shop, and check the description if you're shopping online.
I just realized I used lift rocks as like a beach activity.
Lift rocks.
I mean, that's what I do at the beach, but I also live on the West Coast where there's a lot of rocks and you lift them to see the crabs underneath, but that might not be everyone's experience of the beach.
Definitely have never done that.
Oh, girl, you're missing out. Okay, so we're obviously talking about nylon with Lycra. So these are man-made fibers. We've been talking a lot about more sustainable options on the podcast lately and using things like organic cotton. Unfortunately, for a swimsuit, these things are just not going to work out. Cotton absorbs loads of water, so it's really not going to work well for a swimsuit. It's going to bag out and just stay wet all day long, and that's not, you know, comfortable, and it's probably not super healthy for, you know, your under area.
Definitely.
So you do want to be using a man-made fiber. And as we talked about in our sustainability episode, it's okay in this instance because you want to create something that's going to last a long time. And I think if you do use the correct materials for your swimsuit and you're using it, you know, a reasonable amount, going to the beach a few times during the summer or going on vacation or whichever you're up to, it is going to last you a long time. It could last you years to come.
Mm-hmm. There are some other options. We wanted to touch briefly on the idea of using a poly knit for a swimsuit. Helen, you've done that before, right?
I have. I've used a few poly knits to make swimsuits. And again, I don't go to the beach that often in the summer. You know, I always think I'm going to go to the beach every day, but you end up going, you know, 5 times throughout the summer. You go on a vacation and you go a lot, but you don't go the rest of the time. So I think if you're not using your swimsuit that heavily, then a poly knit can work quite well. They do tend to absorb a little bit more water, and they also tend to fade in the sunlight and with the elements, you know, like salt water and things like that. The colors and stuff might fade, but I've had a few that I've owned for 2 or 3 years now, and they're still fine.
Yeah. So if you are limited with your options in terms of swimwear fabrics, look at the poly knit section, think about what you're going to be using the swimsuit for, where you're going to be wearing it, and maybe that'll be a good fit for you.
Yeah.
Another thing you definitely want to do is, if you can, test the stretch of the fabric before you're buying it. Does it warp? Does the design crack? You know, when you're stretching out a print on a fabric, sometimes you can see those white lines kind of appear in between the ridges of the fabric as you stretch it. So you want to try to avoid fabrics that do that too heavily. I mean, all fabrics are going to do that a little bit when you stretch them, but you know, some a lot, it's a lot more prominent than others. So you want to think about the fact that swimsuits have negative ease, which means that they're actually smaller than your body and you're stretching them over your body. So the fabric is going to be stretched when you're wearing it. So you want it to look okay when it's stretched a little bit. You also want to think about recovery. Does the fabric bounce back? Does it stretch really nicely?
With recovery, if you stretch a fabric out and then you let go, does it look kind of baggy and saggy, or did it just bounce back to its original shape? So those are kind of the two extremes of recovery.
And another thing you want to look at is the opacity of the fabric. Is it still opaque when you stretch it out, or does it look like it's, you know, getting a little bit of sheerness to it? So look out for that, because you don't want a fabric that's going to be sheer when you wear it, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not ideal for swimwear.
All of that being said, generally speaking, when you're shopping online for fabrics, say you don't have a resource locally where you can go and touch and feel the fabrics, if an online shop is labeling a fabric as swimwear fabric, you have to sort of trust that that shop has done their research and that they're selling appropriate fabric. So I wouldn't worry too much about the recovery and the stretch and all of that stuff. If you're buying a swimwear fabric, it's meant for making swimsuits. So I say go for it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right. So you also need to think about lining fabric. You generally are going to want to line your swimsuit. Some people don't, but I like to have that extra security. And I think most people like to have lining in their swimsuit. So you need to find something that you can use that's not too heavy and that's going to give you a little bit of support. Generally, power net works really well. You can find really lightweight nylon if you don't have access to power net, or sometimes it's labeled as power mesh. You might even find something labeled as swimwear lining in a fabric shop, and that will generally work really well. If it's labeled as swimwear lining, it's meant for swimwear lining. Personally, I really like using firm power mesh to line my swimsuits because it gives me a little bit more hold. It's more of like a shapewear kind of material, so that works really well, and it has great stretch and recovery. So just keep in mind that the lining is going to help to hide all the seams and make you feel more secure.
Yeah, lining is, I think, really important in a swimsuit. And most swimsuit patterns will include the lining and tell you when to, you know, cut it and when to apply it and all that stuff. And sometimes in certain areas of the swimsuit, you're going to be using a self-lining where you're just using the same fabric you used on the outside. And that's depending on the swimsuit design and what the designer had in mind when they created it.
You also are going to be sourcing notions. So depending on the swimsuit pattern that you bought, they're going to have different lists of materials that you need. So you're going to want to hunt those down. You definitely need elastic. Mm-hmm. All swimsuits need elastic.
Yeah. So you're going to want to find the correct elastic that the swimsuit pattern is calling for. You want to look for an elastic that's going to withstand the elements. So things like salt and sun and chlorine are all really hard on textile fibers. So you want something that's actually designated for swimwear, a swimwear elastic. There's kind of two different elastics that you're going to see out there. There's rubber elastic, which is appropriate for swimwear. And then there's also a chlorine resistant swimwear elastic that's going to be labeled for swimwear. Either of those will work. The chlorine resistant swimwear one is a cotton elastic that's more of a beigey kind of color. And then the rubber one you can get in like a white or a black. And both of those will work. And you're just going to be using the elastic to finish the edges of your swimsuit, maybe inserting it into straps for your swimsuit. swimsuit. Again, it all depends on the design.
And your pattern might also call for clear elastic. That's going to help stabilize seams or stabilize with the ruching, if there's any ruching in your swimsuit. So that might be something that you want to look for. And like Johanna mentioned in our sewing activewear episode, you want to look for a really high quality clear elastic that's not going to rip or break when you give it a lot of tension and stretch.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think it can be a little intimidating when you go into fabric stores to look at notions and try and figure out which one is going to be good for which thing, or where do you find this. At our local store, the clear elastic's actually like tucked away in a little case. So that might be the case in your store. If you can't find these things, just ask. You know, most people in the fabric stores are going to be happy to help you. So you don't need to feel intimidated when you're looking for specific notions. Just ask.
Yeah.
So the other thing you want to get as far as notions is the thread. And you want to use polyester thread for all the same reasons we've been talking about. It's going to resist things like the salt, the sun, and the chlorine and make your swimsuit last longer. Woolly nylon thread in particular is a great option for your serger. You put it in your loopers of your serger and it actually has a little bit more give. So when you're working with knit fabrics, or in this case with Lycra fabrics, it's just going to help you get that extra stretch.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about cutting out slippery Lycra.
Oh my gosh, it is so slippery. You put two pieces together and it just slides all over the place.
Yeah, so if you can cut on a single layer, and we've mentioned rotary cutters and pattern weights in the past, this is a great time to whip out your rotary cutter and your pattern weights and your cutting mat and cut on a single layer. They're small pieces, so you can generally fit them right on your cutting mat. It's really nice and convenient.
And even though your fabric might seem like it's stretching in every direction and there maybe isn't a visible grain line necessarily, you still really want to make sure that you're cutting your pieces on grain. And there's a little bit of a difference with swimsuit pattern pieces, because often instead of marking the grain line with the line and the two arrows on the end, what some designers will do is mark the direction of greatest stretch, or the dogs, as it's called. So the line on your pattern piece might not actually be the grain line. It might be the direction of greatest stretch. And it will probably be marked, but it's an important thing to just know, so that before you start laying out your pattern piece, you can check which is the direction of greatest stretch. Often it's selvage to selvage, so you'll be laying out your pattern pieces correctly.
Yeah, so that line that's marked direction of greatest stretch is often going to actually be perpendicular to the grain line.
Exactly.
Another thing you want to keep in mind when you're cutting out, if you aren't using a rotary cutter and a cutting mat, is ballpoint pins.
Yeah, ballpoint pins are similar to ballpoint needles in that they don't have as sharp of a tip, so that they're not going to tear the fibers in your stretchy fabric and create little runs in your fabric. So once you've got your pattern cut out, you can move on to the sewing part. And I want to just tell you that sewing swimwear is pretty easy. Like, you've got these little pieces. It doesn't take very long. You can get them together and you're going to be surprised at how quickly you can whip up a swimsuit.
Yeah, it's actually really fast and really fun and really satisfying. So you don't need a serger. You can do it all on your sewing machine, but you can also use a combination of serger and sewing machine for your projects. If you're just using a sewing machine, zigzag stitch, you want to make sure that your machine does zigzag. And triple zigzag is also a really great stitch to use for sewing swimwear. It's a little bit more secure. Sometimes it's called the three-step zigzag. So it's when your sewing machine is stitching three times in one direction and then three times in the other direction to create the zigzag.
Yeah, and you want to do some tests. Some patterns will recommend the width that they think that you should use for their pattern, but it depends on your fabric. It depends on your machine. There's a lot of variables here with zigzag stitch. So we recommend just taking a scrap of the Lycra that you have and doing some zigzag seams and then stretching them, like pulling them and seeing how far you can pull them before the stitches break, thinking about the application and which direction the stretch is going to be going. I personally like to do a narrower zigzag on vertical seams. So if your swimsuit bottoms, for example, have some paneling, you can get away with a narrower zigzag there. And then for the seams that go horizontally, like the waist seam, maybe a wider zigzag, because that has to stretch over your body when you're pulling it on.
Mm-hmm. And you're going to be using a different zigzag when you're sewing a seam versus when you're finishing the edge of an elastic, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we just want to stress that your swimsuit will not fall apart.
It's not going to fall apart. I think that we can have some misconceptions around the strength of a handmade swimsuit. It's very strong. It's not going to be an issue. It's even stronger if you use a serger. If you don't have a serger and you're just using your sewing machine and a zigzag stitch, that's part of the reason why you want to be doing the test, so that you know exactly the strength of the seams. And if you're worried about it, you can go over it multiple times with your zigzag. That's what I used to do when I didn't have a serger and I was making swimwear. Sometimes I would sew the seams twice just to have that backup level of stitching. And that was more for my peace of mind, but it does add some stability, and that way you can be absolutely sure your swimsuit is not going to fall apart.
In terms of construction, you're going to be constructing your lining and your swimsuit shell as you would any other knit garment. So use a ballpoint needle on your sewing machine. Use low heat on your iron if you're going to be ironing. Personally, we don't iron really when we're sewing swimsuits.
I've never found that you can press Lycra.
Yeah, pressing nylon swimsuit fabric is really difficult. Same thing with poly fabrics. It's a little bit difficult to get a good press. So I find when I need to press something, I just finger press, which means that you're sort of laying it out on a table and pressing it with the tip of your finger. And that works just as well as using an iron. So for me, I don't even heat up my iron when I'm sewing swimsuits.
Yeah, I mean, some swimsuit patterns will have directions to press, so you can get out your iron and put it on a low setting and just be really careful because you can burn nylon pretty easily.
So a couple other construction tips: try not to pull your fabric as you're feeding it through your machine. You might need to stretch elastic as you're sewing it, but you don't want to pull the actual knit fabric as you're sewing it. The other thing we wanted to say is that raw edges are okay, especially with swimsuit lycras. A raw edge can be a really nice finish. It's simple because Lycra doesn't hold a good press. Sometimes pressing a hem just doesn't work. So if you're just using a rotary cutter or a sharp pair of scissors to cut a really nice raw edge, you can just leave it as is.
Yeah, and we're talking about applications such as a little ruffle top, a little ruffle peplum on your top, or a little swim skirt on your bottom, something like that, where you have the opportunity to use that raw edge feature. Mm-hmm. So other than those places where you might have a raw edge, most of your edges are going to be finished using some kind of elastic. So you're basically going to treat your lining and your swimsuit as one piece. Let's use bottoms as example because most of them are constructed the same way. So you're going to be treating your lining and your swimsuit as one piece in the end. But initially, you want to construct your outer shell of your swimsuit and then construct your lining. So you have basically two bottoms. One of them's made out of some kind of lightweight nylon or mesh, and one of them's made out of your actual swimsuit fabric. And then you're going to put them together with wrong sides facing so that all of those seams are nicely enclosed and they're not going to be rubbing up against your body. And then we're going to attach the edges so that we're going to have in the end basically one piece to be working with. So you can sew the edges together with a zigzag stitch, or you can serge the edges, which is what we typically do. And that way you're ready to apply your elastic.
So then once you're ready to apply your elastic, you're going to sew your elastic to the edge of the swimsuit using a zigzag stitch and then fold it under and sew it again with a second row of zigzag stitches. I really like using a triple zigzag on that second pass when you're attaching the elastic. I think it creates a really nice finish. Keep in mind that your first pass isn't going to be visible from the outside. Then you're folding it in and you're enclosing the elastic in that fold, and then you're top stitching, and that second row of zigzag will be visible.
Yeah, and that's okay. I mean, I think people might think that zigzag is, you know, a less than professional finish for a swimsuit. But if you go into a ready-to-wear store and look at swimwear, they are actually finished with a zigzag stitch. It's a very common finish for a swimsuit because it works so well.
And it looks really good. I don't think that there's anything wrong with it. I've seen so many handmade swimsuits and they're all finished with zigzag, and I think they look amazing.
Yeah. So one other thing that I like to do when you're finishing your elastic is just to have one edge of your zigzag going just off the elastic so that on the inside of the swimsuit, you don't have, you know, a little floppy edge from the folding it over. It's just all nicely tucked away.
Swimsuits have different levels of support and different methods for achieving support. So we wanted to kind of go through how you can find support in your swimsuit and what you can look for depending on perhaps your bust size or, you know, just the size that you're going to be making in general.
So some swimsuits use just simple tension to achieve support. So they might just have like a quite tight top, or just the way that the top is tied is going to provide a little bit of tension to kind of keep the girls in.
You'll also find some swimsuits with cups. So you can buy pre-made cups. Those are the kind of foam cups that come in different shapes. You can get sort of like a circle shape or like a
triangle-y kind of shape.
Yeah, there's all different shapes. Some have a little bit of push up built into them, and some are a lot lighter weight. But for larger cup sizes, we find that using cut and sew foam is a really good option as well. So if you have a cup around your bust that's in the construction of the swimsuit, then you want to just cut a layer of foam and have that be the lining for the bust area. And that's going to create a lot of really nice support for you. So you don't just have kind of a little cup in the center of your breast and then, you know, swimsuit fabric surrounding it.
Yeah, I think those pre-made cups can work in certain scenarios, but I think it's really challenging to find a pre-made cup that has that kind of foam support that actually fits over your breast, because we all have different shaped breasts. So I think, yeah, cut and sew foam is the way to go here. And how do you go about attaching cut and sew foam together?
Yeah. So with cut and sew foam, if your pattern that you're using doesn't have pattern pieces that are already designed for that, you're going to want to take your cup pieces and remove the seam allowance, because there's no seam allowance in the foam. So you're just taking your pieces. Let's say there's two pieces that make up the cup. You butt them up against each other, and there's no seam allowance, so you can just put them right up against each other, and then you zigzag across to sort of bridge that gap, and that's what holds the foam together. And since your cup pieces are going to be, let's say, triangle shaped or shaped so that once you attach them together, that's what's going to create the shape in the cup.
Yeah, it's kind of fun when you start putting cups together and you get these flat pieces becoming these 3D shapes.
Another thing too is that when you're constructing foam cups, like for example, when I was making my Sophie swimsuit, that was the first thing I did, was I made the foam cups and then I draped them over my bust to see if it looked like they were going to fit. It's a really nice way to do like a really quick fit test to see if the bust of your swimsuit is going to kind of like have a good fit on your bust.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right, so the next thing that you might find for support is something called stays, which are kind of like boning. They're like boning light. So they're just little plastic pieces that you might put into channels on the side of a swimsuit top. And it's not like with a corset where they really help you, you know, stay supported. It's more to keep the shape of the swimsuit and the intended design of the swimsuit so that it doesn't collapse. You know how swimsuits can sometimes like crinkle up and get lost in those folds, yeah. Especially on the side. So something like a stay is going to help you keep the swimsuit the way it was intended.
And lastly, some swimsuits are going to have underwires, like the Sophie. They have a built-in underwire. The Ipswitch is like that as well. And those are going to create kind of the ultimate bust support. So if you are a larger busted lady like myself, I find the underwire is a really nice way to feel supported and sort of held in my swimsuit, and, you know, gives you nice coverage.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so those are our tips for sewing swimsuits. I hope we didn't miss anything. I think you guys have a lot to go on to get going with your swimsuit sewing.
Yeah, I do hope that you try to tackle a swimsuit this summer if it's something that you've been wanting to make. I would encourage you to just dive in. Give it a try. Like we said, it's really not that hard. It can be so, so satisfying, and you will get a better result than with a ready-to-wear swimsuit. And in a lot of cases, it's more affordable to make your own swimsuit. This is one case where I think sewing can win over ready to wear as far as affordability, because swimsuits are expensive.
Yes, and we are going to link everything that we talked about in the show notes for you guys, so you can go check that out, and we wish you lots of luck. It's going to be fun.
Okay, are you ready to talk about wearing a swimsuit?
Not really.
Oh, come on. Wearing a swimsuit is most of the fun of making a swimsuit.
That's true. But I think that there's a lot of self-esteem, confidence, body image issues that come up for a lot of us when it comes to wearing swimsuits.
Yeah.
So we wanted to talk a little bit about that today.
Yeah. I mean, it's no surprise, because the pressure to look good in a swimsuit can feel like a lot. And I think it's even more than our usual pressures that we endure about beauty and how we should look in a day to day. With a swimsuit and going to the beach, it's like not only do you have to look a certain way, but there's just so little fabric to accomplish that with. You feel exposed.
Yeah, there's no hiding in a swimsuit.
No, it's true. And you shouldn't hide in your swimsuit is hopefully, you know, where we're going to get with this conversation today. But we want to be honest with you guys about our personal feelings. And we hope that you can relate to, you know, some of the things that go on in our heads when we think about going to the beach. And we can kind of encourage each other to go out there and have fun and just try to get over that feeling that everyone at the beach is looking at you, because they're not.
I think it's not only about what people are thinking at the beach, but it's also about past experiences and how, you know, maybe we felt in the changing room, trying on swimsuits, trying to find swimsuits that fit us when we were shopping ready to wear. I think a lot of people have had traumatic experiences in that regard. I know I have. And that's another thing that sort of brings up those feelings when I'm thinking about sewing a swimsuit and when I'm thinking about wearing a swimsuit.
Yeah, trying on swimsuits is an intense process.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that there's more swimsuit companies popping up now that are doing more options than just your typical lineup of swimwear, because I never found that the styles in most swimsuit shops fit my body very well or what I wanted to wear.
Yeah.
So I know where you're coming from there. That can be really frustrating. And that's why I think making your own swimsuit is a really good option, and we have the power to do that. So if you can relate to those experiences, then try making your own swimsuit and maybe you can turn that around.
Erica made such a beautiful point at the end of her episode on My Body Model, where she talked about how the media is really trying to shame us into believing that we are less than, and because we are less than, we need to buy more. And really the only thing you need in order to have a beach body is to be on the beach.
Absolutely. I think going to the beach for me in the past has stirred up confidence issues because I'm so pale, and I used to like try the fake tanner, and I would like try so hard to get a tan so that I could look like proper at the beach, like you're supposed to look tanned at the beach, and I just can't accomplish that. So that's one hang up that I had, and I would spend so much money on all these products to try and like make my skin look a certain way that it was like impossible to achieve.
So we just want to say that when you're going to the beach, when you're thinking about wearing your swimsuit, just remember you do not need to be thin to wear a swimsuit.
No.
You do not need to be tan to wear a swimsuit.
Nope.
And you do not need to be hairless to wear a swimsuit.
It's true. I mean, the hair is like a whole other rabbit hole that we could go down.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of pressures when it comes to going to the beach and being a woman at the beach. So yeah. You don't need to be any of those things, really. The beach is supposed to be a fun place where you get to hang out with people that you like and maybe have a relaxing time, maybe have an exciting and adventurous time. Whatever it is you're into doing at the beach or the pool, that's what you should be doing there and feeling good about it.
Definitely.
Caroline, have you ever felt self-conscious at the beach?
Yes, I absolutely have. I've spent a lot of time at the beach. In my childhood, we used to go on vacation every summer, and we'd spend time at Sandbanks in Ontario, and it's just such a beautiful place, and I'd be with my cousins. And I also spent a lot of time in the water. I was a synchronized swimmer when I was young, so I really, really love being in the water. I love swimming, and I love the beach. But I definitely have struggled with body image and self-confidence when it comes to wearing a swimsuit. I think as I have grown older and wiser, I've become more confident overall in my body, and kind of those feelings of body shame and self-consciousness have faded. The podcast and sewing have played a huge part in that. But I think I'm still a little bit behind in terms of wearing swimsuits on a beach, I guess, and how I feel about that and how I feel about my body in that scenario. I think it's a lot of it is because you just can't hide at the beach. You can't hide anything. You can't strategically, you know, wear a garment to hide an area of your body that you don't like. I mean, you're pretty much bearing it all when you're at the beach. And that's okay. And we should be okay with that. And we should be trying to build up our confidence and be comfortable with that. But I'm not quite there yet. I don't think I've ever been comfortable in a swimsuit. Like when I used to go on holiday with my family and my cousins, I was always the biggest girl. I was always the curviest girl. I was always the tallest girl. So I've just always kind of compared myself to others that I thought were more beautiful or more thin or, you know, more perfect than I was. I think I'm at the point right now where I'm trying to do the whole like fake it till you make it thing, because I do think it's important to set an example, especially in the position that we're in right now as podcasters. I think that people look to us for that boost of confidence and that influence of body positivity. And even though I think mentally I'm not in that place right now, I'm trying my best to project that. And I'm hoping that if I keep telling myself and telling others that I am fine and that I feel great and that it's all good, then I'm going to end up feeling that way inside eventually too.
I think that's a good point. But also, you're not just projecting everything's fine, I'm totally fine, because you're literally sitting here talking about
that's
how it's
true.
Not. So, and I think that's important too, because I don't know that we want to project this image of like, we love ourselves and everything's great.
No, you're right. It's hard, right? Because I can't just wear a bathing suit to the beach and like sit down with my friends and be like, oh, hey, by the way, guys, like I feel really self-conscious right now. Let's talk about that. Like, you can't always like bring that up. Obviously, this is a platform where I feel like I want to be honest. I need to be honest. I don't want to pretend that I am like the most confident person, because I'm definitely not, especially not in a swimsuit, you know? And I feel like a lot of people are that way. It's almost like wearing clothes that you made is one thing, or wearing clothes is one thing. Wearing a swimsuit is like a whole other ball game. You know, it's like a separate issue for me almost. We had this conversation when we were away on holiday and we spent some time in our bathing suits, and I sort of said, like, I almost want to think about like the little girls that are out there who are going to see me wearing my swimsuit confidently and think like, oh, I could be her one day. Like, it's okay if I have some curves. It's okay to look like that on the beach. And it is okay. I'm not saying that it's not okay. It 100% is okay. I want to carry myself in a confident way because I want to set that example and be a good example for a younger generation that might be watching.
Yeah, I think that's incredibly powerful. And I applaud you for wanting to be more like that. And I think, you know, in doing this photo shoot together, that was like a big step for both of us to have our pictures taken at the beach and share it with our listeners. So in the end, the more you do that kind of thing, it does kind of snowball and it does have a lasting effect. But it can be hard.
How about you? How do you feel about swimsuits and beaches and all that good stuff?
Well, I also love the beach. I spent a lot of time at the beach, you know, growing up in Vancouver. We're a coastal city, so my family went to the beach a lot. And much like you, I love being in the water and swimming, and being active at the beach was always a big part of my childhood. And I can definitely remember feeling self-conscious as a teenager, wanting to be smaller and wearing really small swimsuits. For some reason, when I started shopping for swimsuits, I thought I had to wear a string bikini. So that's what I would buy and that's what I would wear. But I would always feel like I was barely covered and like it wasn't enough for me. But that just adds to your self-consciousness at the beach. So realizing that I could wear a swimsuit that was more suited to my style and my body was definitely a game changer. I also get self-conscious about my skin at the beach, because we talked about this before in the smiley episode, but I struggle with acne, not only on my face, but on my chest and my back. So when I have to go to the beach and wear a swimsuit, I'm like acutely aware that everyone can see all of that. And it's one of those things where I don't think people really think twice about it when they see it. But for me, it's like showing that to everybody is a hurdle in my mind. So I'm getting better about that, but that's still a thing that I struggle with, and being pale. But you know, I think I'm over that pretty much, because I just have to wear like SPF 50 and I'm never gonna have a tan, and it's fine. I think it wouldn't sting so much if my sister didn't have like a perfect tan every summer, but it's fine. So the other thing that I wanted to talk about, which I'm not sure if like is appropriate to share on the podcast, but Sam and I go to nude beaches a lot, and we love going to nude beaches. I went to nude beaches first when I was a teenager, but we've been going more often in the summertime, you know, throughout my adult life. And I think that going to nude beaches and just being nude on the beach has changed the way that I feel about being on a beach, you know, with just my body, just the way it is. And it's almost like swimwear and swimsuits are like more sexualizing than just being naked, because you'd think, you know, you're on the beach and you're nude, that people might be looking at you and looking at whatever you've got going on. But it's in so many ways less sexual. And I'm not sure if I'm describing this correctly, I think going to nude beaches is one of those things you have to experience in order to decide whether or not you like it. It's not for everybody. But I do think that going to nude beaches has changed the way I feel about myself on the beach. And it's just such a freeing feeling to take all of your clothing off and just be in the world. And there's nothing hiding. You don't have to adjust things. You're not always feeling like, you know, I got to tweak this here and pull this out of here and, you know, fix myself up so I'm looking good on the beach. You just are. There's literally nothing you can do. You just be. So that's my little plug for nude beaches, if anyone wants to go and give that a try. But also making and sharing my swimwear online, I think, has helped me to feel more confident. I've shared quite a few pictures of myself in a swimsuit. This year is a little bit different because I have gained a bit of weight in the last year. So I'm feeling a little bit more self-conscious this summer. I'm frustrated that some of the clothes I made last summer aren't fitting, which, you know, happens to all of us. I think every time the next season rolls around, you're like, why? But that's just how it is. And I'm working through that and making myself some new clothes. So I'm excited to have this new swimsuit that fits and I feel really good in it. So that has made a big difference. And I think having conversations as well with you on the podcast, but also with other friends as I get older, I think I am able to talk about these things more openly. And it's interesting when you talk about these things with your friends and your family and you start realizing that other people feel the same way as you, or maybe not the exact same hangups, but they have their own hangups, and friends that you might have thought had the perfect beach body are in fact feeling those same kinds of feelings. And once you realize that, you can start to think about it more objectively and be like, okay, we're all feeling this way because of the conditioning that we have in our society. And it's not just me, you know, and that can really start to change the way that you think about bodies in general.
Mm-hmm. All right. So we got all that out.
That was a bit of a rant.
No, I feel good talking about it. I hope that some of our listeners can relate. And if you guys have any thoughts, email us. We want to hear about you, your experiences and
your beach bodies.
Yeah. Let us know. So we also wanted to talk about how we can be more body positive when it is beach time. And we have some tips for you guys, some actionable items that you can do to make yourself feel a little bit better when it's time to go to the beach.
The first one is one that we've talked about a few times in the podcast. Do a bit of a social media cleanse. We all have these people that we follow who are maybe social media influencers or lifestyle beauty kind of people. And there's a lot of photos that pop up around the summertime of beach living and just doing amazing things and looking amazing all the time at the beach. And that might not be super realistic. And if that kind of imagery puts you in a comparison place where you're feeling not good enough or wanting to make some changes in order so that you can look like them or be like them, I don't think that's very healthy. And it can be really good to just cleanse your feed of that kind of sensory input.
And you can also maybe find and follow some more body positive swimsuit accounts if we're talking about Instagram or Pinterest, perhaps. And I have a couple of companies that I found when I was doing some research for swimsuit inspiration for a blog post that I wrote that I would love to recommend because I think that they are really great and body positive and the images that they share are just really inspiring. So the first company I wanted to mention is Nettle's Tail. They're local to Vancouver. Minnow Bathers, Courtney Jean, and you can even find some bigger companies like ModCloth and Aerie sharing some really, really nice body positive images in relation to swimsuits.
Yeah. I mean, I think looking at different bodies in different swimsuits is a great way to be more positive at the beach.
Yeah. So we'll link a bunch of those accounts in the show notes for you guys if you want to go follow.
And of course, you can make a swimsuit that fits you. And that is going to be a huge game changer for your beach experience. If you feel comfortable in the swimsuit that you're wearing, then you are going to feel more confident at the beach. And if you want, you can also make yourself a beautiful cover up to wear at the beach. Myself mentioned, quite pale, need to wear a cover up at the beach. And so it's nice to have one that goes with your swimsuit that, you know, you feel beautiful and is nice and flattering and you love, you know, waltzing around in your beautiful beach robe.
Yeah, it can be a kimono like the suki, or you can go the kaftan route and have like a really beautiful voluminous linen kaftan that you throw on. There's lots of options out there for really great cover-up patterns.
Mm-hmm.
We also want to encourage you to do you. If you want to wear a thong swimsuit, go for it. If board shorts and a t-shirt are more your style, then do that. That is okay. Just because you prefer to cover up a bit at the beach, it doesn't mean that you are a self-conscious person. So go with your personal style, go with what you're comfortable with, and I think you'll be much happier in the end.
And lastly, I wanted to encourage you to just look around you. And I mean, like, really look around you, because when you're at just an everyday beach, it's full of everyday people, and you're not just going to be looking at the beautiful teenagers, you know, looking at the moms, looking at the dads, looking at all the normal people that are all around you having fun at the beach and really taking it in, you know, like seeing that other people have cellulite, seeing that other people have tummies, seeing that other people have back knee or back hair, you know. And when you're looking at other people in this way, think about how you're feeling about them. Are you looking at them and thinking like, oh, gross, that person has cellulite? No, you're probably looking at them and thinking, oh, wow, that person looks like they're having a really nice time, or that person has a really cool swimsuit, or, you know, whatever it is you're thinking. It's probably not as negative as the thoughts that you think people are projecting onto you. And just realizing that and enjoying the fact that you're sharing this beautiful place with lots of normal, beautiful people.
I think it's a really great idea to compliment your friends when you're at the beach and kind of be vocal. If you think someone looks awesome, or if you think they look radiant or whatever, I think that that's a really nice way to kind of boost the confidence of the people around you. When we were on holiday, I think you said, what did you say to me? It was the sweetest thing ever. And I'm never going to forget it. Helen like turned to me and she was like, you're the most beautiful person here. And I was like, what?
I said you were the hottest person.
Yeah.
We were at the spa. We went to a spa and it was so much fun. And there was like a lot of just regular people there, which yeah. I was, you know, when you go on websites for spa kind of places, they have all these beautiful pictures of models lounging in hot tubs. And we were a little bit nervous to go to the spa, but we got there and there was, you know, old people, young people, just all kinds of people. And so we were talking about that. And I was like, well, I mean, you are the hottest person here, though.
But it was so sweet, and it really did like make me feel really good and really confident in that moment. So I say, like, if you're with friends, compliment them, make them feel good. Everyone is so vulnerable when they're in their bathing suit. So just spread that positivity. I think that can go a long way.
Yeah.
So to end off, we wanted to give you guys a little bit of hashtag inspiration. We were scouring Instagram, and the best hashtag to use for swimsuit sewing is the hashtag sewing swimwear. There are some really inspiring makes on there, so we want to encourage you guys to use the sewing swimwear hashtag when you're sharing your makes, so we can all see what you're making.
Yeah, it's a really fun hashtag to browse through. Go and follow that hashtag so you get lots of beautiful images of regular people in their swimsuits in your feed. And then you're going to feel super pumped to make your own swimwear.
Go do it. That's it for today's episode of Love to Sew. You can find me, Caroline, at blackbirdfabrics.com and Helen at helenscloset.ca.
We're recording today in sunny Vancouver, Canada, and you can get in touch with us and get links for everything we talked about in this episode at lovetosewpodcast.com.
If you're loving the show and want to help us out, you can support us on Patreon. Contribute $5 or more a month and you'll get access to our bonus episode feed. Go to patreon.com/lovetosew for more info.
Our show is produced by Sam Humphrey.
Thank you, Sam.
And thank you all so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Swimming, swimming in the swimming pool. When days are hot and days are cold in the swimming pool. Side stroke, breaststroke, fancy diving too. But don't you wish you never had anything else to do?
I don't know that song.
Now you do.
It was really beautiful.
Thank you.